The hour. This is Bill O'Brien. Sorry for the glitches. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I wish you all peace.
This is the Quality News Network. The fallout from the Mark Foley scandal continues, with the FBI today interviewing former Foley aide Kirk Fordham, who claims he told Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert's staff about Foley's questionable behavior 3 years ago. The House Ethics Committee is meeting behind closed doors on Capitol Hill to try and determine whether there was any cover-up or negligence on the part of the House leadership. And in Florida, Democrats are threatening a lawsuit after the state recommended that because Mark Foley's name remains on the ballot, election supervisors in his district should send out notices and post signs in polling booths on Election Day saying that a vote for Foley is actually a vote for his replacement. Democrats say the state is showing favoritism and that such action is likely illegal. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in Iraq, paying a surprise visit to President Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad, where 13 U.S. servicemen have been killed since Monday, the highest three-day death toll there since the war began. 24 U.S. soldiers and Marines have lost their lives in Iraq since Saturday. The U.S. Air Force today began carrying a new precision bomb to back up troops in Iraq. The weaponry is designed to help pilots more accurately pinpoint targets and limit collateral damage. The Stars and Stripes came down, and the NATO flag went up in its place in eastern Afghanistan today, where NATO formally took control of the region and now commands all of the coalition troops in the country, which includes 10 to 12,000 American forces. The latest poll from the military advocacy group Vote Vets shows 42% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans say equipment furnished in those war zones did not meet military standards, and 63% also say the Army and Marine Corps are currently overextended. One of Israel's most senior generals has been fired for publicly criticizing the way the military conducted its recent war against Lebanon. South Korea and Russia are warning Pyongyang of grave consequences if North Korea makes good on its announced intention to test a nuclear weapon. The UN Security Council will meet next week to discuss possible sanctions against Iran for refusing to suspend its uranium enrichment program. There are concerns in Islamabad over the safety of Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf after two rockets set to be detonated by remote control were found near the parliament building by a construction worker today and defused by Pakistani police. The incident follows a bomb explosion yesterday in a park across the street from Musharraf's residence. And Malaysia is concerned about preserving its national language of Malay, so it's going to start fining people for using Manglish, a combination of Malay and English. This is the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
NASA scientists say that through the use of the Hubble telescope, they believe they've discovered 16 new planets in the Milky Way near the center of the galaxy. A major scientific discovery on an Arctic island where Norwegian scientists have discovered a number of 150 million-year-old fossils of giant sea creatures and the complete skeleton of a bus-sized plesiosaur. Walmart is accelerating its plan to offer generic drugs for $4 a prescription throughout the state of Florida. Instead of starting the program in January, they'll begin it tomorrow. New claims for unemployment fell by 17,000 last week. That's more than expected, but the four-week average for claims remains virtually the same. California's Attorney General has filed criminal charges against former Hewlett-Packard board chair Patricia Dunn, as well as four others connected to the HP spy scandal. Apple's CEO, Steve Jobs, is apologizing for the accounting practices of two former company officers with regards to questionable stock option practices. An internal investigation, however, clears Jobs of any wrongdoing. And Marriott has posted a 5% drop in third quarter net income, saying it was due to poor sales in its synthetic fuel businesses. Gold is trading at $574.50 an ounce at this hour. Light sweet crude oil is up 76 cents a barrel at $60.17. Trading is mixed on Wall Street. The Dow's are down 21 points at 11,829. NASDAQ is up 1, and the S&P 500 is down 1. Always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Well, by now, the details are sickening familiar to most of us. A one-room schoolhouse in a pastoral area of Pennsylvania, Amish country, where people who practice a long, nonviolent religious tradition where they don't even use modern conveniences like cars, but the horse and buggy, a long American tradition. Kids were meeting in a one-room schoolhouse, ages 6 to 13. A gunman came in, someone who we learn has molested children in his past. Lets all the boys go, takes the little girls, ages 6 to 13, ties them up, puts boards in the door, and before he can sexually molest them, the police come and he ends up shooting himself and several of the girls. Many are, fighting for their lives right now. And the question I think everyone is asking, or should be asking, is how does a guy like this get a gun? It would be one thing if it were an isolated incident. Of course it is not. There's school shootings in Colorado and Wisconsin. In Tennessee, in Nashville, a story that doesn't even make the news nationwide, it's just in the local newspapers, a six-year-old brings a loaded semi-automatic to school and shows it, luckily, to everyone in show and tell. And then those of us in the Washington area, fresh from memories of the sniper incidents a few years back where all of us were afraid to even pump gas for fear of being shot, just 4 or 5 months ago, a 17-year-old boy, Michael Kennedy, breaks out of his psychiatric center, breaks the window to get out, steals a car, and goes home to his family. He clearly has mental problems. And a few days later, shows up at a police station with an AK-47, another high-powered rifle, and 5 handguns. And extra ammunition, shoots 70 rounds, murders 2 police officers. The police come to the parents' home, and guess what they find, folks, with the 2 rifles and the 5 handguns missing? There were 9 other guns laying against the walls, and that doesn't even include the locked gun safe. What are we doing in America to allow mentally ill child molesters to have guns? And what is the responsibility of parents when a six-year-old brings a loaded gun to his first-grade class? My guest is Elizabeth Hale, staff attorney for the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence. She's been on the show before. Elizabeth, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Let me start with the basic question that I guess tears me apart. And it has to do with the parents of these kids. All right, I accept that there are mentally ill people out there. I know that. I accept that there are child molesters out there. But let's start with what happened in Virginia, Fairfax, just 4 months ago. Are parents liable for leaving guns unlocked around their house for a 17-year-old son that they know to be mentally ill? Are they liable for that?
Yes, they could be. That varies from state to state. There is no federal law on that, unfortunately, and some states are better about this than others. They're known as CAP laws, child access prevention laws. In this case, because the individual was 17, depending on what Virginia's laws are, the parents might be held accountable, but it's in some cases very difficult to show. But, yeah, if you're totally irresponsible and your six-year-old, as in one of the cases you were pointing out.
Right. In Tennessee, it was a six-year-old with a semi-automatic loaded pistol.
Right. If they got that from their parents, showing up at school with that, in many instances, the parents can be held responsible. Of course, the question is, why do the parents in the first place have a gun accessible in the home? There are all sorts of reasons for people individually purchasing guns, which if that's the decision that you've made, that's fine, but you have to keep them away from children and teenagers.
Well, let me ask you, in the case of the six-year-old, so it would depend on Tennessee law. There's no federal law preventing parents from negligently leaving guns out for kids to have.
Yeah, at the federal level, our laws are really pretty basic and narrow as far as access, allowing access to guns.
Okay, now let's fast forward to what happened this week, of course, in the Amish community. Here's a man who has, I don't know, it's we don't know all the details, but apparently in a suicide note, he said he molested two children in his past years ago. If someone has a history of molesting children, and again, I don't know that we know all the specifics of this case yet, but let's say someone has been convicted of molesting children, can they buy a gun?
If they have a felony conviction, they are not legally allowed to buy a gun from a federally licensed firearms dealer. It sounds like this guy did not have any felony convictions on his record and that he had legally bought at least the semi-automatic pistol that he used to shoot all of these girls legally from a dealer locally. But, of course, if you do have a record of any sort, whether it's child molestation or felonies, you can buy a gun from individuals, from people who do not have federal firearms licenses. It's totally legal to get that gun from whoever you want.
Wait, let me get this straight. If I am convicted of murder, you know, second-degree murder, I guess first degree I might be in jail for the rest of my life, but second-degree murder, you know, I plan and I kill someone with a gun, and I get out after 10 years serving my time in prison, and I go to a local gun show, I can buy an AK-47?
Correct. You, under federal law, as the convicted felon, it is illegal for you to possess those guns, and if you are caught with them, you should be prosecuted. But it is not illegal for somebody at a gun show who doesn't have a federal firearms license to sell you the guns because they're not going to run a background check. They might ask you for an ID, they might not, and that's it. And of course, we have historically had repeated cases of individuals, the students in Columbine, they got some of their weapons from gun shows. And they said in recent diaries that have been released in Colorado of theirs, they have said that they specifically targeted gun shows because it was so easy.
Now, to be clear, so if you sell a gun at a gun show, you don't have to ask for background checks, anything? You just say, here's your gun, thanks for my cash, have a good day, don't shoot too many people? I mean,
exactly.
Are there no requirements?
If you do not have a license by the federal government to sell guns, that's correct. Gun shows are just bazaars for potential criminals, for felons, terrorists. They know that they can go in and find dealers who are selling and not doing background checks. There's no requirement unless you're a federally licensed dealer.
Well, this is really interesting to me. So it sounds like if you're federally licensed, you have to jump through all these hoops, but you don't have to be federally licensed to sell guns. Are there any restrictions? I mean, can I not be federally licensed and sell semi-automatic weapons out of my basement just willy-nilly? Or are there any restrictions here under the law?
Technically under the law, there are restrictions in that if you're somebody who is in the business of selling guns, if you're selling those guns out of your basement on a regular basis, you're supposed to get a license. Of course, ATF, which is our federal agency that tracks gun dealers, does not have the resources to track all of that down. In addition to the fact that to actually become a dealer is not very difficult, and there aren't that many hoops to jump through, although, of course, one of the things that you are supposed to do then is run Brady background checks. But there are no restrictions on you as an individual if you say that you're just selling from your personal collection or it's only periodic, you just go to gun shows every now and then. No, there's no requirement for you to do a background check. And that means...
Is, Is there a limit? I mean, if I say it's periodic and that means I sell, 10 guns a month, can I call that periodic? Is anyone ever put in jail for these things?
No, it's really interesting. The law is so poorly written, especially and mainly because of the fact that the NRA and other gun lobbyists push to actually repeal restrictions that were in the law. And in 1986, federal law made this very difficult definition for ATF to have to try and prove whether you are a true regular dealer in the business of dealing guns or not. There's no number cutoff. It's very amorphous, and so consequently, you know, ATF isn't really able to go after it.
See, what I find interesting is this. I get all kinds of people listen to my show, and I get people who are probably NRA supporters. But even what they say, at least on my blog, it is not that different from what I say, which is, you know, if you haven't committed a felony and you want to use a gun to hunt or self-defense, I have no problem with that as long as you go through a background check. But it sounds to me like federal law doesn't require a background check for anyone who wants to own a gun unless you go to these federally licensed gun dealers.
You've hit it exactly. That's the major problem. And the Brady campaign...
The NRA is insisting, just to be clear, the National Rifle Association is insisting on the right to buy a gun without a background check.
Right.
Is that right?
Because their position is that if we require you to have a background check run on you whenever you want to buy a gun, that might prevent your next-door neighbor from being able to sell you a gun immediately because perhaps you might have to go to the local police or the local dealer and have that background check run. And that's just too much of a burden on you and your next-door neighbor if he just wants to sell you a gun. Of course, what the real problem is even if there is some people that have to wait a little while, if we don't get universal background checks in place, which is the major legislation that the Brady campaign is pushing for and has been for some time, it just allows these wide open sources for criminals, mentally ill, felons, et cetera, to get guns from.
Now, let me ask you about a background check, because today I know, you know, just from the credit card companies and the credit rating reporting, it seems like everybody knows every detail about my life, everything I've ever bought or used. There are these huge data banks out there with everything from a traffic ticket I've gotten to, one I spent on my credit card. I know because I get all the stuff in the mail. Are there background databases set up today where a reasonable gun dealer, someone who's maybe licensed or wants to protect people, can simply put a name in, maybe a social security number, a date of birth, and within a day, 3 days, a week, find out if someone has a criminal past or a psychiatric past? Do those exist?
The database that is used to run a background check when you do go to a legitimate dealer is in most cases run by the FBI. And it's only as good, of course, as the information that's been put into it from your, local police, from the federal and state police on people's records. So the FBI runs a search when the dealer calls it in, and they are in theory supposed to be able to pull up all of your felony convictions everywhere. It is supposed to be able to pull up records of being committed to mental institutions, but that is completely full of holes. Most states don't even keep track of that, so there is most often no way of knowing that, and that doesn't come up on the background check. And the FBI, under law, only has 3 days to be able to do that. Most of the checks, more than 90%, are done within a couple minutes, but sometimes there's a flag that comes up for the FBI. It looks like maybe there's something they have to look into farther, and they have a couple days to do that and then get back to the dealer. The dealer doesn't hear anything either way. After 3 days, they can sell it to you.
Instead of saying, hey, there's a flag here, maybe we need to check it out. Maybe this is a terrorist of some sort.
Exactly.
So what I understand is this. I can go on LexisNexis, and I know this because I am an attorney, and you can look at someone's criminal record. You just type their name in, and boom, you see, convicted of theft in Hawaii in 2001. It's really that easy. I'm sure you're right about the mental health records. I haven't been able to find those online. But is it that some local localities aren't reporting these things to the FBI, or is the FBI overworked, or why aren't they catching some of these things?
Well, I don't know about any numbers as far as how many people have been mistakenly sold guns where they do have felony records. I don't have that in front of me. I don't know how often that happens. Again, it's as good as the information that's being put in there. One would hope that if you're able to find it on LexisNexis, that our federal FBI has that information in the database as well. The bigger problem is, like you mentioned, is the mental illness records, domestic violence records, if you have even misdemeanors there that's supposed to disqualify you from buying a gun. And those kind of records aren't always in there. But the federal level felonies, we hope they're catching, and we know that the Brady background checks has prevented hundreds of thousands of people from being able to buy because they were disqualified.
Wait, hundreds of thousands of people?
Hundreds of thousands. Since it was put in place, I believe the latest number is close to a million since it was put in place in 1994.
That's
so these are people who knew they had a record, yet were still going and trying to buy.
And the amazing thing is all those people had to do was go to gun shows, and maybe they did go to gun shows and get their guns that way. We got to take a break, Elizabeth. You're a terrific guest. When we come back, I want to get some statistics on whether this gun violence is rising or not and what the Brady Center is doing to pass more stringent gun control legislation, not to take away your nonviolent hunter's right to hunt, but to take away the right of violent criminals to own guns. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Elizabeth Hale, staff attorney for the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Elizabeth, it seems like these stories, I hear them all the time now. It's Colorado, it's Wisconsin, the one in Pennsylvania was particularly brutal. But even in local news, I don't know how much the Virginia story of the 17-year-old shooting the two cops got national attention. When I was in Tennessee, I found this story about the 6-year-old with the loaded semi-automatic, and apparently, according to the Nashville Tennessean, there were 13 incidents already this year in Nashville of children bringing guns to school. Is gun violence and bringing guns to school, is the violence increasing, or is just public awareness of it increasing?
Well, on bringing guns to school, we here get news clips every day, and it seems like almost every day there's somewhere in the country instances of small children bringing guns to school. The FBI reports criminal gun violence out separately, and they reported an increase of almost 50% in the number of gun violence incidents between 2004 and 2005.
50% in 1 year? It's gone up 50%?
In 1 year.
What are we talking about? Several thousand?
That was 166,000 victim increase in 2005 than the year before. The CDC tracks deaths by guns, and homicides and suicides by guns in 2003 is the last data they released, was almost 29,000, which is higher than the year before, although I don't know the number.
29,000 deaths a year in one single year due to gun violence.
Right, and that's just homicides and suicides. There are also other accidental deaths that are on top of that.
Oh, so that doesn't even include accidents.
Right.
Well, let me start with the issue of children in school, because we've seen a lot of, or not just children, as we know from the Amish, there are obviously others breaking into schools. But when you deal with children in schools, you say that you hear about it virtually every day at the Brady Center. In what percentage of cases, I don't even know if you have the statistic, are parents or guardians actually charged with the crime when their kid goes to school with a gun?
I don't have that statistic. I wish that we did, because in many of the cases, they are guns that they're bringing from home. Unfortunately, in some of the cases, they're guns that they were able to obtain in other ways. If they were
right, and I don't necessarily blame the parents for those. But when a kid brings the gun from home, it's just whenever I read about these cases, it seems that I don't hear about the parents being prosecuted. Again, I'm focused on the one that happened just around the corner from me in Fairfax, Virginia, where the mentally ill 17-year-old brought a barrage of weapons and shot two police officers. And I still haven't heard of anything going against his parents, who had, you know, 9 more guns in the home and a locked gun safe. You know, do you think we need stronger laws on parental responsibility?
I do. Virginia is a state that actually has a cap law. In that instance, it's possible the police or the prosecutor didn't think it was a case where the parents should be charged for other reasons. But there's only 19 states that even have these laws. So in many of the cases, if you're reading about this, the parents can't even be prosecuted.
Amazing. Now, let me just ask you, I know that there are a lot of laws, I'm sure, that you're trying to pass at the Brady Center. And let's go through all the holes, if you can, our gun laws. We talked about the gun show loophole. Basically, the guns at the gun shows you can sell to anyone for any reason, no matter who they are. I mean, you could have Osama bin Laden walk down the street, and he could buy whatever he wanted at a gun show, and there'd be no legal restrictions on him.
Right. And, in fact, if you are a terrorist, if you are a known terrorist or you're on a terrorist watch list, it's not even illegal for a licensed gun dealer to sell you that gun. That is a major loophole in our federal gun laws that we pushed last year to try and have filled. But you could be on the terrorist watch list and still legally buy as many guns as you want here.
Could you also buy one of those shoulder-guided weapons that can shoot down an airplane?
You can buy the .50 caliber weapons. Those are legal except for in California, yes.
So a known Al-Qaeda person can walk into a gun store in 49 states of the United States, purchase a shoulder-mounted weapon that can take down an airplane, those 50-caliber guns, and frankly, if someone refused to sell to that terrorist, that person could be sued as violating his rights?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the last part, but the first part is true, and yes, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. We have been trying to get Congress to move in the right direction on this. In addition to the gun show loophole, we're pushing for what's known as universal background checks, and that means not just if you're selling at a gun show, but if you're selling anywhere, you're selling out of the trunk of your car, you're selling from your basement, that you have to run background checks for every one of those sales. The Congress is not... introduced a bill like that. In fact, they have been going in the opposite direction. Just last week, the House of Representatives voted to make it more difficult for ATF to crack down on rogue or problem gun dealers.
How did they make it more difficult for the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency to crack down on manufacturers or gun dealers?
The bill that they passed, which is 5092, makes it much more difficult for ATF to create a record of a dealer having made illegal sales that would allow them to then pull their license. It makes it much easier for dealers that have been continually breaking the law to keep operating. And
why does it do that? Does it throw away the records after a certain amount of time or some other way?
No, it reclassifies many of the violations that problem gun dealers commit from serious to non-serious under the statute. And non-serious violations can't be the basis for revoking your license.
Can you give me an example of a newly non-serious violation?
A newly non-serious. Not recording your sales of, 500 guns, meaning you're probably selling those guns off the books to people you shouldn't have been. That will now be a non-serious offense.
It's amazing when you think about all the reporting that was required just to buy a car these days, and yet guns apparently don't have to be reported. Now, one of the things that the NRA I know talks about is they sort of talk on one side of the mouth and say, well, background checks aren't such a bad idea, some of them say, but they're too difficult. We don't. The database, as you pointed out, doesn't include a bunch of things. I wonder about a law that would say that would set up such a database that would actually spend money to get information on whether mentally ill or violent felons and so forth. How about a safe harbor where it says if you check this nationally licensed database by the FBI and you don't find someone's name on it, then if you have no reason to believe that they're violent, then you're okay selling them. It's, in other words, that would protect both those who want to sell guns legally, but also make sure that people go through the background checks. How does the Brady Center feel about something like that?
Well, as I understand what you're saying, that is currently the law. I mean, if you get an answer from the FBI that these databases have been checked, even if there was a mistake down there, and you sold the gun, you can't be liable. I mean, you as the dealer, you as the seller, did what you were supposed to.
In other words, NRA complains that the database isn't good enough. Well, that doesn't affect their gun dealers at all. They just check the database, and if they're not there, they're okay. They don't have to worry about anything.
Right, and we agree with the NRA that the database needs to be strengthened and improved. And, in fact, Congressman McCarthy last year introduced a bill to try and improve getting the mental illness records in there. But all this requires more funding, which, of course, the Bush administration and the gun lobby are continually pushing for funding for ATF, funding for any gun violence prevention measures to be reduced.
Now, I know there's been some legislation, I think, offered by the Democrats regarding gun manufacturers, and I don't know whether it's either safety locks. Maybe you can explain. I know the idea is to hold gun manufacturers liable in certain instances. Can you tell me about that?
Well, there was legislation that was passed last year, which actually gave immunity to most gun manufacturers, distributors, and dealers from being sued for liability in most cases. However, attached to it was a requirement that all guns sold by federally licensed dealer be sold with child safety locks. The House of Representatives actually moved to strip that out. it's that one requirement in there to now allow the guns to be sold without having the child safety locks. So that might be what you were thinking of.
So in other words, it's fair to say that in the last 6 years or so, all of the laws that have been passed, at the federal level at least, have made it easier for criminals to own guns, easier for children to have, you know, accidental shootings and so forth, to make it easier to do gun violence.
Yes, the Congress has been moving in exactly the wrong direction and have been much more interested in protecting corrupt gun dealers than protecting our children.
And at the same time, we see these gun violence going up 50% or so. I don't know that you can say one is causing the other, but are there, I mean, for example, at times when gun laws are strengthened, are there statistics that show that gun crimes go down?
Well, obviously, there's always a lag between when the any piece of gun violence prevention goes into place. But yes, for instance, the assault weapons ban that went into place in 1994, by the late 90s, there was a reduction in the number of crimes, not only a reduction in overall gun violence, but a reduction in number of crimes using assault weapons. And the assault weapons ban expired in 2004. Bush and Congress did nothing to try and get it reenacted despite our pressure. And gun violence has been increasing since then. I don't know if there's a direct correlation, but of course, any piece of sane legislation which would at least reduce the availability of guns to criminals and children can only help. And we've been moving in the opposite direction.
Well, Elizabeth, let me just close by asking you the question that every single supporter of the NRA seems to post on my blog. They say, you know what, criminals will always find some way to get guns, and so therefore gun laws, all they do is keep law-abiding people from getting guns. What would you say to someone who says that?
I've never understood that argument, because anything that you can do to reduce the availability, the Brady Law, which they fought and fought against for 7 years, in the amount of time that's been in place, over a million prohibited purchasers have been prevented from buying guns. Why wouldn't we want to have legislation like that in place universally to reduce the number? No, it may not prevent every single criminal and every single child out there from getting a gun, but why would you want to make it easier?
One of the things I've always found interesting is that in a country like Great Britain, where they, you know, just guns simply aren't available in the way they are in America, they have so much less gun crimes. I don't know if you have the statistics, but the last I read, it was definitely less than 100 compared to the 29,000 or so you mentioned in the United States.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can pull out information on the number of gun crimes and gun deaths in every other industrialized country, and most of them are just in the hundreds versus we had over 30,000 in the U.S. last year.
Elizabeth Hale, I appreciate what you're doing. The Democrats may well take the House or even the House and the Senate if I get my way in November 2006. How would that change, do you think, gun laws, federal gun laws? Do you think if the Democrats took over Congress, you might get the requirement of a background check for gun shows?
I think that we will be continuing to push for the universal background check, and at least we'll be able to be having legislation introduced instead of always playing defense on actually repealing the current laws that we have, which is what has been happening over the past few years.
Elizabeth Hale, I have to tell you, I very much appreciate and value what you're doing, and I want to thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy it.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, you're welcome to call in and say your views on this, agree or disagree. In fact, particularly if you disagree, I want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. A lot of you have already posted to the blog at radioinsidescoop.com, and I'll be reading some of your comments as well right after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Bruce Birch radio program, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m., connecting people.
Listen, oh, we have the founding fathers and mothers, and we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, sir. It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I sent you an email. You haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
You're a real, both of you are a total camp.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to have to retreat to my Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons.
Oh, God, the world's worst bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Birch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
The Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about gun control. We're talking about what happened, of course, in Amish country in Pennsylvania. And let me be clear, my heart goes out to all those families. I have to say, if you feel like I do, when you watch that, just something tightened in my throat, and it just made me so sad and so angry. These little girls, just little girls in this one-room schoolhouse, in this, you know, sort of pastoral setting, Americana, the Amish, this ancient, this several century-old religious tradition that believes in pacifism, and then to have their girls just brutally murdered. Largely, I think, because we have such easy access to guns. Now, I don't know whether this guy would have been caught by the gun laws. I hope so. I don't claim we can prevent all gun crimes. We do know that he claims to have molested little children in the past. I don't know if he was convicted. But if he was, a background check would have prevented him from owning a gun. A whole bunch of you have written in on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. I value your comments, particularly the ones of you who disagree, and encourage you to keep writing. A.W. writes that, of course, she's in agreement with background checks. She just maintains that wackos will get the guns no matter what. Well, A.W., who I know is Vicky, she writes under American Woman. Vicky, you just heard Elizabeth Hale from the Brady Center. The Brady bill has stopped almost 1 million... almost 1 million people from getting guns. And we know, based on the statistics, that gun crimes went down until Congress decided to increase the availability of the guns to the wackos. As she said, it's not about preventing every single crime, but you could prevent a number of them. And you know, you say you're, of course, you're in agreement with background checks. Yeah, but Congress isn't. The Republican Congress isn't. The NRA isn't. The National Rifle Association believes that Osama bin Laden should have the right to buy a shoulder-guided missile without a background check. Terrorists on the watch list can buy guns. You know, we took a guy who we put on the watch list, Muhammad Arar, wrongly. Okay, he's an innocent man. We put him wrongly on the watch list, and we tortured the man in Syria, put him in a cell. That we did to a non-terrorist. But to a real terrorist, we allow to buy guns and bombs. It's amazing, really. It's amazing. And here we have all these laws going in the wrong direction. You heard it from Elizabeth Hale. Only 19 states can put parents in jail for leaving loaded semi-automatic weapons out for their six-year-old to take to school. Now, I have nothing against hunting. I have nothing against guns for self-defense. If you have not committed a felony, if you haven't committed a violent crime, if you haven't committed domestic violence, and you want a gun to protect yourself, fine. I don't know why you need 50 guns to protect yourself, but one or two, that sounds fine to me. If you're a licensed hunter and you want to go out and shoot deer, hey, I don't like to shoot deer, but you haven't committed any crimes, fine. No problem with it. Deer season lasts many, many weeks, many months. You can wait a week for a background check. 30,000 lives lost. Got Sarge here from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of that gun issue right here in this state, believe it or not.
Well, I would say it's very easy to get guns in Mississippi, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's just absolutely too easy. I have seen so many people who actually had mental problems and who had severe emotional problems be able to buy a gun. And they could go... They didn't have to go through any kind of background check. If it was a secondhand gun, there is no law that requires any action whatsoever.
And in Mississippi, I assume that people don't want those kinds of laws. They want mentally ill people to own guns, I guess. I mean, try to explain to me the mentality of someone that says, I don't think mentally ill people should be denied their right to own a gun, because I don't get it.
I don't either, because I'm just going to tell you straight out. I'm like you. I've been through military training and learned how to kill, and they don't teach you how to undo that. You have to do that by yourself. And I will not own a gun for the simple fear that I'm afraid that if something were to snap and I were to lose that control that I have, that I might go on some kind of killing spree or something with a gun. So I just, you know, think it's better I just stay away from them. But,
That's interesting, because I certainly would have no problem with someone like you, who, you know, no criminal background and owning a gun. I don't have a problem with that, although I respect, you know, your right not to have one.
Yeah,
but
and
do you
I just.
Think there are people, like Vietnam vets say, from, you know, that may suffer from, or Iraqi vets these days, that might suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and might use their guns like that? I mean, do you think that when you're taught to kill and you're in a war zone, that have you heard of people snapping like that?
Well, I have been at the point in certain situations where I would get so mad that I'd kind of lose control, and I would actually try to kill people with my hands. And
wow.
If I tried to kill them with my hands... If I had a gun in that hand, what would I do then? And that's just something I can't live with, you know. And I feel like that's in my best interest. It's in the best interest of the people that I not have it. And I just, you know, but that I could have one if I wanted. I could go out and get one today and have one within an hour. And that brings me to the thing where why don't we, as a nation, we regulate automobiles by making people have a driver's license?
And there's a test, and you got to check your eyesight, and you got to get it renewed every 4 years, and some people fail, and you're registered, and they know. There's even license plate numbers where they know, you know, where you are. They can check where your car is, and I don't hear people crying Big Brother on that.
No, and I think this should have that. I really do.
I don't have any problem with car registration, and I don't have any problem with gun registration. Sarge, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Let me go to a comment I have on the website. This is by Jeff, who also disagrees with me on this issue. And Jeff says, I argue, by the way, on the website at RadioInsideScoop.com that owning a gun is a privilege. It is not a right. That if you're sick in the head, if you're mentally ill, then our society has a right to say, you know what, you can't own a gun. If you're seeing things, and people, you're hearing voices, and they're telling you to kill someone, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have a gun. Or maybe if you leave loaded guns around the place for your children to pick up, maybe you should go to jail. Well, Jeff disagrees. Jeff says it's not a privilege, it is a right. Read the Second Amendment to the Constitution. And so I did read the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says, and I quote, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." The Second Amendment, in fact, is the only amendment in the entire Bill of Rights to give a reason for its right. To say, I mean, the First Amendment says, right to free, you know, Congress shall pass no law respecting establishment of religion or change, you know, or restricting, abridging the right of freedom of speech. It doesn't give a reason for it. It simply says you have the right to free speech, free practice of religion, and so forth. The Second Amendment is different. It says you have to have a reason. You have to have a militia. And there's a reason for that, of course, because in the 18th century, when these were written, you had the American colonists, you had the British take their guns, and they wanted the right to defend their country. And, of course, the British took their guns away. So a well-regulated militia, I got no problem with that. I have no problem with the National Guards. I have no problem with the State Guards and all the weapons training. Of course I have no problem with that. I can understand why you need a Tennessee militia or a Louisiana militia or a Maryland militia. But that does not mean that mentally ill people have the right to own guns. And I repeat, owning a gun for an individual, if not a militia, is a privilege, not a right. Maybe for a militia it's a right. I'll grant you that, Jeff. But for an individual, it's a privilege, and it can be abused. Let's go to Jim on line one. Jim, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I've been listening to your program about gun ownership privilege as opposed to right, and it certainly is a privilege. It's not a right, that's for sure. And I've grown up around guns, and you can probably tell I'm from the Deep South, and we sort of have a tradition of gun ownership down there. Well, I think there's a tradition of gun ownership everywhere in the country, to tell you the truth.
Well, I just want to be clear. I have no problem with people who have not committed crimes owning guns. I, you know, if you want to take a gun and go hunting and you pass a background check, you might have to wait a week. But, you know, if guns last a long time. It's not like, you know, you use them once and they expire. You know, you can wait a week to own a gun.
Absolutely.
What is the sentiment down there? What are people afraid of?
The thing that scares me the most, Mark, are the people who can get guns illegally. And, you know, the ones that are not purchased in accord with the dictates of the law. And also the flaccid laws that are in place now and the exceptions to policies that are given under those laws. Now, I live in the state of West Virginia.
Yeah.
And I know of a particular family, all of those. There's a father. I'm sorry, Mark. Excuse me. Something went down the wrong way.
No problem.
Anyway, the father and two sons went hunting. Now, all three of these men were on psychotropic medication. And
wow.
They got into an argument, and they killed
each
other.
They were psychotic.
They killed each other. Every member of the family was killed. They got into a gunfight, a OK Corral fight situation. And they should not have been in the possession of the ownership of a firearm. And they killed each other.
Well, Jim, I agree with you. You know, it's amazing to me that in many states, if you have committed a felon, you're not allowed to vote, but you can still go to a gun show and buy a gun. In other words, we're afraid of letting the ex-felons vote, but apparently we'll let them carry weapons, lethal
it's
weapons.
Strange, is it not? I mean, to me, guns are beautiful things. They are beautiful. They're examples of a very skilled craft and art form. But you have to remember, they are a machine built for throwing bullets, and that's what I use them for when in uniform. And I have seen the damage they can do. And whereas they may look very nice on a wall or in a cabinet, and they may bring good prices and things of that nature, if misused, the solution that there is no solution for the problem for which they can cause.
Yep. I tell you, I get your point, and I want to be clear. I hear all the time from Republicans or NRA supporters or people who have guns, liberals want to take away your guns. Democrats want to take away your guns. No, we don't.
Let me tell you what they did here, Mark. During the last election, they came down to West Virginia, and they also went to Arkansas, and they went to churches, and they said that John Kerry was going to take away your Bible and your gun, and the people believed it.
And I'll tell you this. Let me be clear. So obviously, we don't want to take away your Bibles. We also don't want to take away your guns. I admit, I want to take away guns from you if you're mentally ill, or if you're a violent felon. That's right. I do. I admit it. I want to take away your guns. But if you're not mentally ill and you're not a violent felon, you want to go hunting and you want to use it for self-defense, I have no problem with that. And I don't know any Democrat in the entire Congress that has a problem with that. So I wish they'd just stop lying to people. Thanks for your call, Jim. I appreciate it. I want to get to Albert before the show ends. Albert, welcome to the Inside
Show. Time, Mark. Sorry about the...
No problem, Jim. Let's go to Albert. They're bringing Albert up on the line here.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Albert. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, pretty good. We try to get out to this World Can't Wait protest that's going down here about 3 o'clock in my area. I agree with you. Mentally ill should not have firearms. I mean, it's just bottom line. There should be restrictions in terms of access. I don't have a problem with even requiring gun locks. I don't have a problem with keeping fully automatic weapons out of people's hands. But I do think we should be a little bit more like Switzerland. And I do think that we should almost require citizens to learn how to shoot, to learn how to, learn their way around a firearm, and actually, because it keeps the government honest. Well, as honest as they can get. It keeps them honest to know that, if we get a little too much to the, despotism side, it would be a bad thing for us. I mean, you look at what's going on in Iraq. I mean, you always hear how the military, what would we do with hunting rifles or even, semi-automatic assault weapons? What would we do?
I used to live in Switzerland. I mean, not just for a year. I had a Fulbright scholarship to study there. And, yes, my friends, they did. They had the rifle. They had it. And then they came and inspected it, actually, once a year to make sure it worked. I understand that tradition. It's obviously in the Swiss case. It's a very old tradition. It's 5, 6, 7 centuries old. And I understand where it comes from. It comes from people fearing a powerful central government. Today, I just don't know about that because I think today, a government has a tank. I mean, if you're really talking about fighting the government, not talking about fighting an individual, a government has a tank. A government has cluster bombs. A government has nuclear weapons. Yeah. I'm certain that if the federal government wanted to take me, I don't care how many weapons I have, they could do so. So while I understand that tradition, I don't know that it still holds true today.
Well, but my point on that is we certainly, I mean, nobody wants to think like this. I mean, nobody wants to sit there and go, well, I fear the government. But the thing is we have, and look at the Bush administration. I mean, these people would take as much as they could. They would
Albert, I agree with you. I do fear the Bush administration. Well, all I'm saying is I don't think a gun could stop them. And because I don't think a gun could stop the government, I fear everyone owning a gun because I think it will be used most probably not against the government, but at least with anyone who has a violent past or mental health history, they'll be used against a fellow American.
My point is just like in Iraq, like the Iraqis, they can't beat us one-on-one. They can't compete with us. Just like in Vietnam, they couldn't compete with us one-on-one. If they came to battle with us, we'd annihilate them. The thing is, though, is we would have to continue into the tradition of the Revolutionary War in that respect, and we would go into a guerrilla-type conflict. This is just thinking, you know, strategically, we wouldn't have to win like that. We would just have to be able to, A, change the troops' minds that there are troops out there that will, you know, they take psychologically test them. Yeah, I'll fire on American citizens.
Albert, I'm afraid I have to interrupt you because we're running out of time, and that's the nature of radio. But I hope you'll call in again sometime, and I've really enjoyed this hour. I think Elizabeth Hale was a terrific guest. She really knows her stuff. I want to thank all the callers for calling in. Tune in Monday. I've got a debate with someone not from my right, but from my left. I debate Bob Fitrakis, the Green candidate for governor of Ohio. Until then, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is good. We got progress.
Any questions?